Good morning. Welcome to Spirit in the Morning. Yes, you did hear bells ringing. I'm Gary Zimak. Today, we celebrate the solemnity of All Saints. We celebrate all of the saints in heaven, many of whom may be our family members or friends. Remember, we're celebrating all of the saints today, not just the canonized ones. So this is very special. So therefore, we ring the bell. Great to have you with us on the program. We've got a great show. I want to kick things off in prayer. And of course, one of the things we want to remember today is what happened in New York yesterday, the tragic act of terrorism, that's the word I'm looking for, that took the lives of several innocent people. We want to pray for all involved and especially for the souls of those who lost their lives and honestly who didn't expect to lose their lives that day. So they're in a situation where they certainly need our prayers. And again, let's continue to pray for peace in the world. Sometimes we watch the news, we get frustrated, we think, well, it's never going to happen. That doesn't matter. What matters is that we do what we're supposed to be doing. Number one, by trying to be nice to other people. And number two, by praying for peace in the world. We don't want to get overcome with what's going on and think things will never change. Things won't change as long as we do nothing. So let's continue to pray for world peace and all who are affected by the terrorist act from yesterday. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for bringing us to the beginning of a new day. We thank you for allowing us to come together here on Holy Spirit Radio with Spirit in the Morning. We ask you to help all of those who lost their lives in New York yesterday. We ask you to have mercy on their souls. We ask you to help and comfort all those affected. Father, we pray for peace in the world. Our world is so divided, and there's so much violence. We see it every day. But we ask you, Father, we know that's not your will. You want us to be at peace. You want us to love one another. So please help that peace to come about. We lift up our family members, our friends. We lift up all of our own personal needs, whatever they may be. We pray for those who are homeless. We pray for those who are homebound. We pray for our priests, our religious, our deacons. We pray for an increase in vocations. We pray for an end to abortion. And I pray, Father, that you will speak through us on the radio program today. May your words go out over the airwaves during Spirit in the Morning today. May we all be receptive to your message. And we ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, great show today. I am Gary Zimak and this is Spirit in the Morning. We're going to be joined by Ulrich Lehner. He's the author of a new book. Check out this title, God is Not Nice: Rejecting Pop Culture Theology and Discovering the God Worth Living For. Man, that is a catchy title. But wait till you hear what he has to say. This is a great topic that we're going to discuss. Also, our friend Father Jeff Kirby will be here to talk a little bit about All Saints and All Souls Day. Of course, today we celebrate all the saints in heaven. Tomorrow we remember the souls who are being purified in purgatory. So it's a good combination and oftentimes misunderstood. All Saints and All Souls. Father Kirby is going to enlighten us. Speaking of enlightening us, by my side, the one and only bright-eyed and bushy-tailed Dave Parker.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
Doing well, brother. How about yourself?
Good, good. Good morning, listeners. Our Holy Spirit radio family of faithful listeners.
Dave.
Welcome aboard.
Dave, I have to talk a little bit about what we discussed prior to the program.
Mm-hmm.
Yours truly overslept today.
Yes.
And it was
you mentioned that.
It was one of those situations. Okay, so typically my alarm goes off at 4 a.m. Yes, that's really what time I get up.
And me too.
You too, Dave, right?
Yes.
4 a.m. and then I have another alarm set for 4:15. Well, I blew both by both of those today. And,
wow.
And you know, it's funny. I went to bed last night and I said, got to make sure I'm on time. And I get this thought every Tuesday, especially since I do my national spot on the Sunrise Morning Show every Wednesday.
Yes.
So I woke up, and it was, the clock said 4:43.
Ooh.
And I was jolted
we
by
all
that.
Know where.
Now, here's what happened. So,
yes,
right?
Yes.
I'm looking at the clock saying, okay,
yes,
that doesn't look right. What does that mean? Am I late? Am I early? Do I get up at 5? Do I get up at 4? All of a sudden, I couldn't think.
Yeah. I mean, well, yeah.
But I just knew that time was not right.
Exactly. Like, where am I?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Exactly. That's what happened. So I jumped out of bed, got ready, got out of the house, and I made it. I think I was even ended up being on time. But I came here without my coffee today. Mm-hmm. But Mr. Parker, thank you for making
coffee
for
me. You're welcome. Yeah.
You took care of me.
Hey,
today,
we're a
man.
Team, man. We got to have you up and ready.
You make a mean pot of coffee, though.
Well,
good
thank
job.
You.
Thank you very much. But it was just
my
one
pleasure.
Of those days.
You know, I'm here to serve.
You do it very well. But anyway, it was.
Although
crazy.
I haven't had any. But you were the taster.
Oh, okay. But
you
have your own beverage, though?
Yes, I will have some later.
Okay, very good.
Of what I made for both of us.
Yeah, you just make it. You don't drink the stuff, right? Not the stuff you make, right?
Yeah, I'm just keeping an eye on you. Make sure. I mean, you might go through the roof. I'm kind of made it. Maybe I made it strong.
Well, no, it tastes really good. It tastes good. But anyway, I am still in a fog. It's amazing. I didn't go to bed especially late last night, but some days that just happens.
Hey, well, did you have trick or treaters last night?
Would you believe we did not have any?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Did you have a lot?
Well, yeah. Later. And I kind of, like last year, I'm contrasting to last year. When it was still light out, and as I say, the smaller little ghosts and goblins with their parents were walking around, didn't see any of those younger ones.
Oh, wow.
And then I'm thinking, oh, no, it's not going to happen. And then, bam, you know,
really?
About a quarter after seven to quarter after seven, I mean, a whole bunch of people just started. I mean, and they were going in groups, and
it's
a safety thing,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
but, well, it is a safety thing. And then more came. So from 7, let's say 7 o'clock to about 8:15, we had a good amount. And Barb and I were sitting out on our front porch. Barb was the candy dispenser.
Oh, nice.
I was kind of the greeter.
Okay.
We had We had Alexa on. We were playing some Halloween, spooky stuff, music and all that.
Very good.
But it was nice.
Very good.
And then it got cold, and then we went in.
Okay.
Yes. Thanks for asking,
Barb. Unfortunately, we have candy left over. Oh, well, I guess we're going to have to eat it.
Well, you know what? Well, I did not have any chocolate candy.
Really?
Chocolate has caffeine in it.
Right.
And I'm like, I try not to have any caffeine after 3 p.m. because it just plays with my system. So I was a good boy. I didn't have, but guess what I had after I had my Wheaties this morning and my coffee?
What?
I had some chocolate
in
treats.
In the morning? Good for you.
Anyways.
I love it.
Yeah.
One of the benefits of being an adult, I tell my kids this all the time, when you're an adult, you can do things like have candy for breakfast if you want.
Yeah, we can call an audible, you know.
I
think I owe myself some chocolate.
I love it. Hey, Dave, let's take a look at the weather. Today's weather, cold. It's cold out there.
Yes, it
okay, now moving on. I got in the
car. That
was
a great weather forecast.
I got in the car. I'm going to really do the weather forecast. I got in the car today, and the thermometer in the car said, I think, 35 degrees. That's probably the coldest
I think it is the coldest.
So
I think so.
It was a bit nippy. Of course, I'm running late, and I had to. The windshield was iced over, so I had to scrape off the windshield.
Wow. I know that drill. I mean, especially when you're late. You're like, what do I do? I got to do that.
Exactly.
And you're at hyper speed, but you're groggy. And it's like, oh. So anyways, but it all happens.
It happens
to all of us,
yes,
I should
it does.
Say.
Yes, it does. But anyway, I'm here. Glad to be here. Let's look at the weather now for real. Currently at the Philadelphia International Airport, it's 43 degrees under overcast skies today. Slight chance of showers, but that won't be till after 3 p.m. Otherwise, it will be cloudy with a high near 58. Tonight, slight chance of showers before 9 p.m. Otherwise, mostly cloudy with a low around 55. Now, that's a little bit more reasonable, low around 55. Thursday, partly sunny with a high near 74.
Yeah, we're on this roller coaster.
Yeah, we sure are.
You know, is it late fall or is it early fall?
That's
right. So Mother Nature is still trying to figure it out.
And we have a variety of temperatures in our listening area. In New Holland, right now it's 40 degrees. In Perkasie, way down to 34. And in Bristol, 38.
Mm-hmm.
So in our, and we have a wide listening area, but we
in
have
the Delaware
a, quite
Valley.
A variety of temperatures.
Yes. Well, stay tuned. Bundle up. Brew some extra coffee or hot chocolate or whatever your hot beverage is, tea in the morning. And if you're driving to work, have it in your mug, you know, and have a safe drive. And if you're at home getting ready to go out, you know, continue listening. We want to uplift you today.
I like that, Dave. Thank you. And we will. We do have a very good show today. Dave, let's take a look at the gospel. This is chosen specifically for the solemnity of All Saints. Mm-hmm. And it kind of helps us to focus on the importance of this day. Mm-hmm. The gospel comes from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Of course, this is the beginning of our Lord's Sermon on the Mount. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain. After he sat down, the disciples came to him. He began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven." Mm. Dave, that last sentence really sums up what this the message of this gospel, and it's obvious why the church chooses this for the solemnity of All Saints.
Mm-hmm.
We are all promised a reward in heaven, provided we don't mess it up. You know, we don't want to overlook the fact that, we can mess it up. Heaven is not guaranteed, but if we just cooperate with the grace that the Lord gives us and take one day at a time, we'll end up there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's absolutely simple, but not necessarily easy.
And he lays out the Beatitudes.
Right.
Yeah. And to your point, Gary, we have to follow it. Oh, that we can't just say, "Oh, that was all well and good," and then not adhere to that, or try every day to live those.
Or say, "I'm going to go to heaven. It's guaranteed. I don't have to be nice to people. I don't have to pray. Mm-hmm. I don't have to do anything." Well, no, you do.
Yes.
Of course, we get to heaven by virtue of the grace that Christ earned for us on the cross. We couldn't get there without him, but we can. Again, we can mess it up.
Oh,
the Lord gives us that free will to be able to do that. But today, Dave, we think about the fact that we are, Dave Parker, Gary Zimek, we are all called to be saints in heaven.
Absolutely.
We may not be canonized.
Exactly.
But we are, of course, I do want to point out, there is no Saint Gary at the present moment. But, you know, but we even if we're not canonized, we're called
this
to live
true
in heaven, and it is absolutely possible. That's the message
exactly
for today.
Exactly. But we have to live, and we have to earn it.
There you go. When we come back, God is not nice. Really? We'll talk to Ulrich later. Stay tuned.
Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Robert Mancini, an attorney with a general practice law firm offering professional excellence and personal service. Robert Mancini can be reached at 215-348-4900. That's 215-348-4900. Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is also made possible by the generous prayer and financial support of listeners like you.
More enjoyable than Scrabble. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimek.
Worrying, you worry your life away. Oh, don't worry
Pharaoh. If he can hold the world, he can hold this moment. La, 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 la. Now to feel no flower escapes his notice. Oh, oh, oh. Even the sparrow knows he holds tomorrow. La, 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 la. Even the sparrow knows he holds tomorrow.
And welcome back to Spirit of the Morning. That was Sparrows by Jason Gray. I am Gary Zimak. Great to have you here on the show. God is not nice. What do you think about that? That is a very interesting thought, isn't it? Ulrich Lehner is an internationally renowned professor of religious history and theology at Marquette University in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And he wrote this book for Ave Maria Press, God is Not Nice, Rejecting Pop Culture Theology and Discovering the God Worth Living For. He joins us now to discuss it in depth. Dr. Lehner, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
It's a pleasure to have you here, my friend. God is Not Nice. Boy, I bet you get some attention with that title.
Absolutely. We just had last week our plumber over, and he saw the book cover and thought, well, you know, if God is not nice, what is he?
Right.
He's a devout Christian, and so I explained it to him. But it's a very good conversation starter, absolutely.
I bet it is. Dr. Lehner, I love the book. I think it's very realistic. I think it helped me in my relationship with the Lord. Why is it that you think we want to turn God into something that he isn't, to make him ultra nice to the point of changing who he really is?
I think we tend to make things easy in life.
Okay.
And if we have an idea and of a God who always does what we want, like a vending machine, we throw in a couple prayers at times of need and get what we want, some good fuzzy feeling. We don't have to change our life. We don't have to surrender our plans, and we don't have to encounter and accept the sometimes uncomfortable adventures that God throws in our way. But what's life without adventure?
Right, right. Now, let me ask, what is the most important message you would like readers to take from this book?
I think that faith is not boring at all. That many, many young students I have think that Christianity is something boring and something only elderly people do, and I want to tell them, no, it's an adventure, it's excitement, and it's ultimate meaning for life, and that we should not tame God, that we should try to let God run the show.
How do your students react when they hear this statement, God is not nice? I can only imagine.
I'm not using it this semester because it was not out yet as a textbook.
Okay.
I showed them the cover, and we talked about it. And when I mentioned it, they all looked really puzzled,
right,
and you could see some looked troubled. But I think, you know, it gets through to them. It makes them think. Is there something to it, something to the story of Christianity that I missed?
Right.
I might check this Catholicism out again, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And when you say God is not nice, you in no way are implying God does not love us.
Absolutely not. I mean the exact opposite.
Right.
God is nice. The original meaning of nice is actually, if you look into the dictionaries, is kind of means actually dumb, means superficial.
Oh.
And I want to say, no, God is pure love. He loves us, but that love is wild. God is not a cozy, fuzzy feeling, as I said before, but his essence is love, and I think that's what we try to rediscover. But how do we do that? And the book tries to give some lessons for that as well, trying to find the awe in life, trying to find the mystery in our faith.
Yeah,
you think everything's explainable.
Right.
There is no mystery.
And you make a great point about feelings in your book. You say feelings have their place in faith, but there has to be some substance underneath. Otherwise, faith has no roots. Doctor, I think many of us make the mistake of, and I've done this throughout my life, we pray because it feels good. It makes us feel better. And then what happens when it doesn't feel better, when those consolations disappear, we often stop praying.
Absolutely. And there is this beautiful story in C.S. Lewis. As you know, he came back to the faith quite late in life.
Right.
And he was taught that you have to feel something when you pray. And he did the exact same thing. He stopped praying as a teenager because he didn't feel anything. And feelings can be very deceiving, and feelings, emotions change. True love is not a feeling.
Right.
And I think that's what we have to rediscover.
Yeah. Where do you think this idea of the nice God mentality came from?
I think there are a number of roots. I think one is Enlightenment philosophy in the 17th, 18th century, that we have to control everything in our life, that we have to control God as well. And another one, I think, is the consumer mentality of the 1960s and 70s, that we don't want to have a God who interrupts our life.
Mm.
He should be like an insurance that we keep at the side, but we are so busy with spending money and investing it that we don't really have time anymore to encounter the real God.
It's something that comes to mind. We see this in many non-Catholic Christian churches, and we even see it in some Catholic churches as well. The idea of reaching out to people who may have felt alienated, who maybe don't practice their faith anymore, who maybe don't even believe in God. And I think sometimes in an attempt to reach out to them, correct me if I'm wrong, but we literally change God, and we make him nice, and we make it all about feelings, because we want to attract people, we don't want them to leave. How do we balance that? How do we attract people and at the same time say, you know what, sometimes God's not going to do what you want, and it's not going to be fun?
I think that's a very, very good question, a very astute observation. I think we have to differentiate between being respectful to their seeking, and I prefer, for example, to those who are not in churches, not as nones, N-O-N-E-S, as sometimes happens, but as seekers. They're seeking even if they don't know. And you can't convince somebody who is seeking either with throwing the dogma right into their face or with inviting them to something, to a feeling they don't share. So I think, you know, inviting them to ask questions is really the best, inviting them to be attentive to the mysteries of life. And as St. Paul tells us, you know, we can encounter God also in nature, finding the mysteries in nature, like the question, is there meaning in my suffering? Is there meaning in my life? And that those questions, keeping those questions coming, might lead them back to the faith.
And do you think ultimately it lies in leading them to God and letting him do some of the work instead of us trying to change him and make him seem to be something, someone who he isn't? You know, just let them speak to him and let him encounter them.
Absolutely. And we should always remember what St. Ignatius said to the first Jesuits, only use words if necessary.
Mm.
So I think our witness is most important, not so much talking, but really inviting them to experience who God is.
Yeah. You talk about in the book, and I think this is such a good point, about the necessity of trusting God. Because there are times when I will pray for something, and he's going to say no, or he's not going to answer immediately, or he'll say you have to wait. I mean, certainly all prayer gets answered, but not as fast as I would like sometimes. And there were other times in my life where things just seem dark, I experience this on a regular basis. I'm someone who has always been prone to anxiety, so a lot of times I do struggle with things. And I found that the key in my life is to trust the Lord more, to get to know him more, and then you give him the benefit of the doubt. How important is trust when it comes to our relationship with God?
I think you are absolutely right. Trust is something, and you know, I have the same problems as every Christian has who tries to live a Christian life. Trust is something that we have to work on every day, and especially trusting Jesus and with our lives and with our plans. But, you know, there is no true love without trust. We can't love our spouse without trust. So I think that is something that that many Christians don't work on because they possibly don't see the necessity. But if you don't work on trust and trying to trust, then you don't experience, as you said, the love and also the ultimate consolation that comes with it.
Correct. And in the book, you mentioned trusting somebody you do not know is a risky business. I would totally agree. Until you get to know the Lord, why should you trust him? It's difficult. It's almost impossible.
That's right. But if you don't, I think I used the image, you know, if Jesus knocks on your door, there's, you know, or God knocks on your door, you will never experience God if you don't open that door.
Right.
But
right.
it is risky business. I always tell my students the story. A friend of mine wanted to visit us, and he was extremely busy. And so he said, oh, I'll pray that I can come soon. And the next week I get a phone call. I said, oh, I can come visit now because I had to cancel all my lectures and talks. And I said, what happened? Well, I fell down the stairs and broke both legs.
Oh,
So I always say, be careful what you pray for.
Yes, wow. Well, that'll wake us up. Man. One thing else I want to touch on, because you make so many good points in the book, the age in which we live. Now, today we celebrate the solemnity of All Saints. We recognize all the saints in heaven, and we're reminded that we are all called to be saints. And Dr. Lehner, one of the problems we face in our culture is nobody wants to talk about death, and everybody wants to live as long as humanly possible. If we constantly do that and focus on the here and now, the present time, I need to live as long as possible, I need to avoid suffering, I need to be comfortable, as long as we do that, how can we ever surrender to God's will for our lives?
I think that's true, and I think, you know, that's again a temptation that we really have to deal with, and I didn't find too much guidance in the theologies that I looked at.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for example, yesterday I had my annual physical, and I realized, oh, my blood pressure is a little bit higher than it should be.
Right.
And I got that same scare you were just talking about.
Yeah.
And I think that's natural, and, you know, God gave us these bodies, and we're supposed to take care of them. And they're means of reaching out to others, means of, you know, means of grace in a certain sense. But health has really become a religion, and I talk about this in the book.
Yeah.
Whenever people are congratulating others on their birthdays, even the most devout Christians and Catholics say, oh, the most important thing is health.
Right.
I always think, I know plenty of people who suffer tremendously physically or mentally, the most important thing is not health, really. It's about whether we live with God and will actually live with him. So I think those reminders are important, that where is our true home, that we actually have two passports.
Mm.
Our baptismal certificate is that true passport that we should think about, or true birth date for heaven.
That is a great point, and that's a difficult one. That's one that we all, I think, struggle with to a certain extent, that idea that we fear death, but yet that's the gateway to eternal life.
And I think the true meaning of, I read it the other day, I've forgotten which priest said it, that Halloween is a good example. We have a culture that is, on the one side, afraid of death, but also fascinated with death, with all the horror movies and all the scary masks, and that we as Catholics can actually show a culture where we don't have to be afraid of death. I tweeted a picture of a skull of a saint in a Catholic church, the relics.
Wow.
Many non-Catholics sometimes feel a little bit scared or uneasy about full-body skeletons in churches on display of relics of the
mm-hmm,
saints,
mm-hmm.
And they're beautiful, decorated. But I always tell, well, this is the realistic way of dealing with death. You know, it's here, but it will be destroyed in the end.
Right, right. And it is realistic, and we shouldn't run from it. We should accept. If anything, I would think that, and I know in my life it does, death should motivate us to take our faith seriously, and to take our relationship with the Lord seriously, because I don't know when I'm going to be facing him in judgment, right? So I have to be prepared.
That's right. Peter Kreeft said the other day really beautifully, he said, once we are dead, I don't think we anybody of us will ever say, I wish I would have not prayed more.
Yeah, great point.
Watched less TV or spending less time on the internet or doing this or going less to the gym, but pray more.
Exactly. Good, great point. The book is God Is Not Nice, Rejecting Pop Culture Theology and Discovering the God Worth Living For, from Ave Maria Press by Dr. Ulrich Lehner. Dr. Lehner, I want to thank you for spending time with us. Keep up the good work.
Thank you so much, Gary. I really enjoyed our conversation.
All right. God bless you, my friend.
Thank you. You too. And your listeners.
Thank you. That was Dr. Ulrich Lehner talking about Dave Parker. He gave us lots to think about. God is not nice. I mean, talk about that for a title.
I love that title, and I love the meaning behind it, that he unpacked it. But getting to the, because I grew up as an athlete and stuff, and I still try to work out, but our bodies are not meant to last forever. And I think he touched on so many things, but one that resonated with me, I mean, the 60s and the 70s and the 80s culture and you know, go out and make money. It's all well and good. We do need to make a living, and then our health aspect, you know. But put God first. I mean, God has seemingly taken a back seat, or maybe for some people, you know, no seat. You know, and the fallen aways, and we need to bring them back because, as he said, I mean, we need to spend more time in prayer,
right?
Because we don't know when we're going to leave this earth.
No.
You know, God's going to call us home, and we want to be called home. We don't want to go anywhere else.
Right, exactly. And especially on this day, All Saints Day, we really focus on that, the fact that we're all called to live in heaven. As he said, we have two passports, and that's a good way. That's a good way to think about it. But, you know, it is a challenge, and that's why we discuss the idea. How do we attract people at the same time to welcome them, to make them realize, well, there's something in it for them to have, having a relationship with God has something in it for you.
Mm-hmm.
How do we do that without changing who God is?
Exactly.
You know, we can't say you will never suffer again once you commit your life to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But I think sometimes that is the message. Or if you follow Christ, you'll have unlimited wealth, the prosperity gospel. I mean, that's not true.
Yeah, I agree. And again, if we won't, the thing about, well, all the modern medicine, it's all great and good, but it will not prolong our lifespan. I mean, it may prolong our lifespan, but that it's finite. It's still a finite thing.
Right.
And, you know, praise God for the good doctors and the good, you know, all that good stuff, but it's not going to get us to heaven.
Exactly.
It's not going to get us to heaven.
Exactly. So, I mean, keep that in mind. What I found in my life is that having that personal relationship with Jesus Christ is worth any problem or any suffering that I will have to go through. It's absolutely worth it because there's a fullness, there's some depth to that relationship with Christ.
Oh yeah.
So I don't need somebody to tell me, well, if you follow Christ, you'll have plenty of money, you'll have great health. That's not the case necessarily.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We look at the saints, we look at the life of Jesus, look at what he endured. But there it is absolutely all worth it. And I think that's what Dr. Lehner was getting to in the book. The real God who is not nice loves you unconditionally, and a relationship with him is unbelievable.
He wants you to come home to him when it's your time.
When we come back, Father Jeffrey Kirby, stay tuned.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. The suspect accused of killing 8 people and injuring others along New York's Hudson River in yesterday's vehicle attack is from Uzbekistan and has been living legally in the U.S. since 2010. Officials believe the 29-year-old first lived in Ohio, but they say recently he was living in New Jersey, where he allegedly rented the Home Depot truck that plowed into people along the Hudson River bike path. The Senate has confirmed a judicial nominee caught in the middle of a partisan fight over whether religious faith influences legal opinions. The vote was 55-43 yesterday for Notre Dame Law Professor Amy Coney Barrett to serve on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit. Democrats had questioned Barrett during her confirmation hearings about how her Roman Catholic faith would affect her decisions. Most notably, Senator Dianne Feinstein of California told Barrett that dogma and law are two different things, and she was concerned, quote, that the dogma lives loudly within you, end quote. And the World Series is now tied at 3 games apiece after the Los Angeles Dodgers bullpen worked 4 1/3 shutout innings to lead a 3-1 win over the Houston Astros. The Astros failed to score after George Springer homered in the third inning off Dodgers starter Rich Hill. Corey Seager lifted a tie-breaking sacrifice fly in the Dodgers' 2-run sixth off the losing pitcher Justin Verlander before Jock Peterson added a seventh-inning home run. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
No matter who we are or where we come from, we all experience difficulties in life.
Military veterans know that sometimes it takes strength and determination to make it through.
Whether it's obvious physical challenges or struggles on the inside, it takes strength to ask for help when you need it.
I knew that I had to get support, not just for me, but for the sake of my wife and kids.
Talking about it has helped me feel more like myself again.
Honestly, it was hard to open up at first, but it's changed my life for the better.
Learn how veterans like us have reached out for help and hear stories of strength and recovery at MakeTheConnection.net.
What's a good prescription for an awesome start to your day? A strong cup of coffee, Gary Zimak, and Spirit in the Morning.
I have decided I'm gonna live like a believer. Turn my back on the deceiver. I'm gonna live what I believe. I have decided being good is just a fable. I just can't 'cause I'm not able. Gonna leave it to the Lord.
There's a wealth of things that I professed. I said that I believed, but deep inside I never changed. I guess I'd been deceived, 'cause a voice inside kept telling me that I'd change by and by. But the Spirit made it clear to me that kind of life's a lie.
I have decided gonna live like a believer. Turn my back on the deceiver. I'm gonna live what I believe. I have decided being good is just a fable. I just can't 'cause I'm not able. I'm gonna leave it to the Lord.
Keep your eyes on Him and tell yourself, I've become the work of God.
I have decided I'm gonna live like a believer. Turn my back on the deceiver. I'm gonna live what I believe. I have decided being good is just a fable. I just can't 'cause I'm not able. I'm gonna leave it to the Lord. I'm gonna live.
Welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was Amy Grant with I Have Decided. Boy, that song goes way back. That's back from the early 80s. I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. A reminder for us all, following Jesus requires a conscious decision on our part. We make that decision. I have decided to follow Jesus. Reminder for each of us today, especially as we celebrate the solemnity of All Saints, we recognize that we were all called to be saints in heaven. And I know you don't feel like it some days, neither do I. We don't feel like we are saint material, if you will. But if you allow the Lord to do his thing in your life, if you allow him to give you the grace that you need and to cooperate with that grace, then it is entirely possible for you to become a saint. And that's what we're here for. We're here to help you with that. We're here to help you get to know the real Lord. So many times you want to turn him into something that he's not. That's why I love that conversation with Dr. Ulrich Lehner that we just had. God is not nice. His new book, God is Love. God loves you unconditionally, and sometimes that requires him to say no or to allow things to happen in your life that might not be pleasant. You see, we want to turn God into something, as he said, like a vending machine. I need something. I go to God. He gives me what I want, and then I'm happy. That's God being nice. That word nice, it doesn't equate with love, and that's what God is all about. He's all about love, and he loves us with an unconditional love. Here's what we're going to do now. We are trying to get Father Jeff Kirby on the phone. Dave Parker is working on that right now. Father Kirby, just so you know, is celebrating Mass. He had Mass at 7 a.m., and he's wrapping up, and we're trying to get him on. That's why we're shifting things around a little on the program today to make Father Kirby available. And we're very grateful that he's coming on the show. But I want to do the Be Not Afraid Bible verse while I have a minute. Today it comes from Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Hebrews 12:1. Let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. We are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Who are they? They are the saints in heaven. You know, you and I, we have many people who we have known in our lives, some really good, holy people. When I say that, you'll probably think of one or two people, maybe more, that you have known, relatives, family members, coworkers, whoever, friends, coworkers, whoever they may be. They may be in heaven. We don't know that for sure. And I think sometimes we get a little too loose on that and we say this person or that person is in heaven. We really don't know for sure. Only the church can proclaim who is in heaven, who isn't in heaven. But we can believe in our hearts this person could be in heaven. The point is, we are all called to be saints, to live in heaven, even if we are not canonized saints, which means that we are officially recognized, declared by the church to be saints. Even if we're not canonized saints, we are called to be saints in heaven. So heaven is filled with people who ran the race, who dealt with the obstacles every day, who cooperated with the grace that the Lord gave them, and they reached the finish line and made it to heaven. Now, we may need to be purified in purgatory. That's true. And tomorrow we remember those who are being purified in purgatory. We recognize that if we get to purgatory, we get purified, and we will one day live in heaven. So it's a good thing. It's a journey. It is possible to live forever in heaven, and that's what we do today. We recognize the saints. They are there cheering us on, and I have gotten word that our friend Father Jeff Kirby is on the phone. Hey, Father Kirby, how are you?
Hello, good.
I know you were rushing to. I know you catch your breath for a minute. I know you had to celebrate Mass, and we're grateful that you made time for us on the show.
Yes, I tell you, we tried to offer that early workers Mass, and I'll tell you, Gary, the powerful thing about holy days,
yeah,
is almost every time, I should think better and remind myself of this, but after almost every Mass on a holy day,
mm-hmm,
there are requests for confession.
Wow.
So I'm just convinced it's just the grace of God just filling the church and stirring people's hearts.
Praise so, God for that.
Amen. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Wow. Well, Father, I wanted to talk to you a little bit today about All Saints Day. We celebrate the solemnity of All Saints. We recognize this, all the saints in heaven today. And then tomorrow, we celebrate the souls who are being purified in purgatory on All Souls Day. Father, fill us in a little bit. Talk a little bit, if you could, about All Saints Day, why it matters, and then let's shift and talk about All Souls Day.
Yes, I think that the first thing I want to start with is the resurrection of Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
because it's in light of the resurrection that these two feast days are able and make sense. So we know that the Lord Jesus has destroyed the kingdom of sin and death.
Right.
They have no power, that it has lost its thing. So we're still united. You know, sometimes they say the same house, different room.
Mm.
You know, and so simply because a loved one has passed on does not mean that either their power to intercede for us or our power to intercede for them ceases. No, that's a power given to us in the resurrected Christ. So on the Feast of All Saints, the feast day today,
mm-hmm.
We remember all the holy ones who, you know, are baptized, who have the sign of faith, who have been purified, who now reign in glory. And we know that everyone in heaven is a saint.
Right, really.
You know, so they're not all canonized, of
right.
course, you know, but everyone, and I'd like to stress to people, is that, you know, there are saints in heaven that might only be known by us or our families. And on this Feast of All Saints, we come together in the spirit of gratitude as Christian believers to thank God for the saints that have touched our lives and to intercede to our saints, the saints of our family, the saints of our life, our own discipleship.
Father, I don't feel very saintly sometimes. I don't, you know, I look at heaven, I look at the saints. I don't have a halo, Father. You may not know this. I do not walk around with my hands folded in prayer all the time. How do I retain that hope that I can live in heaven one day?
Yes. I think, first of all, we have that assurance in Jesus Christ. The more we start to look to ourselves, you know, it's kind of like Peter walking out of the boat. I mean,
yep.
You know, the more we focus on ourselves or the things of this world, we think. But the more we keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus, that the impossible happens. You know, it's like sin's destroyed, virtue flourishes, holiness finds root. And so I think that for us, we fight the good fight. I like the definition of a saint. It says the saint is not the one who never falls, but the one who enjoys the getting up more than the falling down.
Wow.
And we just keep getting up and relying on the grace of God, and he does the heavy lifting.
That's good to remember, because we forget that sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we know we have to do, we know how we're called to live, like, you know, Paul calls it, you know, the higher calling in Christ, and if we're not careful, we can take on all those responsibilities of ourselves, and we forget that, you know, all we have to do is say yes, stay vulnerable, and do our best. And the Lord works with that.
Right.
I'm amazed how many people in the spiritual life will approach the spiritual life at first and say, I know that this particular sin or this habit or lack of habit is never going to happen. And as they begin to really live their discipleship, they are shocked. And filled with wonder at what God's able to do. Vices disappear.
Right.
You know, new virtues are found. A life of prayer is nourished. So God wants to do powerful things in the lives of his children. And we see that in our older brothers and sisters in the saints today.
Father, the gospel today was the Beatitudes. I know you have a book coming out soon on the Beatitudes. What's the message there?
That God truly loves us and wants us to live as his sons lived, so that we can be happy, right? So, you know, the popular jargon that God wants us to be happy,
yeah,
true.
Right.
Now, of course, the way some people use that is unbiblical, but properly understood in the biblical context, yes, God wants us to be happy. And happiness is not foreign to suffering. You know, the two have to walk together.
Wow.
In order for happiness to be substantial and real.
That's a great point. And today, what really struck me when I was reading the gospel earlier in the program, the Lord ends this segment by saying, "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven." Now, we live in a culture, Father Kirby, where we are very familiar with the concept of instant gratification. I want this now. I want to be happy now. I want this, and I'm going to get it. But yet, the Lord seems to be telling us, you will have suffering in this life, but your reward in heaven is going to be great. How do we learn to accept that better?
Yes, I think precisely by relying on him.
Okay.
Because I realized that, too, you know, the fallen mind that wants utopia. We all want utopia. We want everything to be euphoric. We want to have pleasure all the time.
Right.
We don't want any hassle. And in the Western world, where we can fill ourselves with an artificial environment, we could begin to think that that's somehow our birthright.
Mm-hmm.
And we can forget that, no, this is a fallen world.
Yeah.
We have fallen minds. And brokenness and sin is the rule of the day. But by relying on God's grace, like, you know, our suffering becomes redemptive. So it's not that by, you know, pursuing a life of happiness in Jesus Christ, we take on suffering. No, it's just we accept the suffering.
Mm.
I saw a quote the other day from Teresa of Avila. She said, you know, the lukewarm do not embrace the cross. They just drag it along.
Oh, wow.
You know? And I think that's the difference, is if we embrace the cross and we realize nothing's going to happen. There will be disappointments
mm-hmm.
and trials, as well as joys and triumphs.
Right, right.
And we embrace the cross, and the Lord carries it with us, and it becomes redemptive, actually becomes a source of joy.
Wow, that is so counterintuitive, but I've experienced that. I know it's true. We can, the Lord's joy and his peace can coexist with suffering, can it?
Absolutely, and we see that in the life of our Lord
yeah.
and the life of
wow.
the Holy One. You know that. You know. In the end, we have to realize that happiness is about our acceptance of God's blessing, and it's not about that everything is smooth and calm. That there's no source of discomfort. No, that's we can't place our happiness in the things of this world.
mm.
This world will always disappoint us.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah. You know, we place our happiness in the fact that we've been blessed by God and we are loved and cherished by him. And no matter what, we are not alone. That he will give us the strength to pursue and persevere through any tragedy, sorrow, or disappointment.
Father,
and
how
that's happiness.
Father, how about a few minutes talking about the what we celebrate tomorrow, All Souls Day?
Yeah, so this is so important to me. Yeah, what I love about this is one of our most ancient celebrations and observances.
Mm-hmm.
It is considered the first act of charity of the Christian, is that as sons and daughters of the resurrection, we do not forget our beloved dead.
Mm.
You know, that those who have died, who have passed venial sin or attachment to sin or temporal punishment still in their soul, that, you know, the Lord continues his saving work. After our death, he cleans us up a little bit.
Right,
you know?
Right. Makes sense.
Gets us ready to be presented to God the Father. And as baptized Christians, we still have the power to help with that. You know, in this life, if I say, Gary, can you pray for me? Or you ask me to pray for you? Like, we're contributing to one another's salvation. And that doesn't end at death. And so the holy souls who are being purified in purgatory by the Lord Jesus, like, we get to participate in that by our prayers, by offering masses, our good works,
mm-hmm.
All these things. You know, it's Christ who's doing the work. But on All Souls, it's just time for us as Christians to be grateful, to remember, to pray, to be a part of Christ's saving work.
You know, Father, we don't hear a lot about praying for the dead, as much as when I was growing up. We don't hear about it as much. Do you think that's because everybody believes that everyone who dies is in heaven now, so there's no need for it? Right? I mean, everybody goes to heaven. I hear it all the time.
Exactly. In fact, we joke, we say, the only thing you have to do to get to heaven is die. I think you're spot on that in the sense of, you know, if there's not sin, if there is not a heaven, a hell, if there's not the stain of sin, then why pray? Like, well,
right.
they're
right.
You know, they passed away. They're quote in a better place.
Yeah, I hear it all the time.
People don't even say heaven anymore. They're in a better place.
Yeah,
But no, I think it's so important to pray for our beloved dead. Incidentally, the mystics tell us that the souls that are the most forgotten in purgatory
mm-hmm.
are priests and religious.
Is that true, really? Wow.
So that's what the mystics tell us. So
wow.
They say, you know, because everyone thinks, oh, the priests and nuns, like, you know, all the brothers, like, oh, they're in. But no, I mean, we need to be purified and so on, too. So I also encourage us, you know, to remember, you know, the priests or religious who've helped us, you know, who have died and are still being purified, civil servants. You know, like, we're responsible to pray for those who have served us in public office. Sometimes we don't think about,
yeah,
you know, the whole array of people that need our prayers.
And these people who are being purified in purgatory, these souls who are being purified, they can't do anything to help themselves, can they?
That's right. Exactly. They rely on us.
Wow.
So exactly, it's so beautiful when you see this interaction. Like it's the full communion of saints. It's the full body of Christ. Like, we really are united. Same house, different room.
Wow. Wow. Great stuff to think about. Father Jeff Kirby, thank you for joining us. Before you go, Father, can you leave us with a blessing?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings upon all those who are hearing us or are part of this conversation. We ask that you give them the strength to fill them with the joy and the hope of the resurrection. May God bless you, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. And you can follow Father Kirby online by going to frkirby.com. I'm going to have that linked at spiritinthemorning.com. Also, he's on Twitter at Father Kirby. That's where you can follow him there. Hey, Father, when's the new book coming out?
It's going to be December.
I'm looking forward to that one. That's going to be on the Beatitudes, right?
It is, yes, Gary. Yeah, I'm really excited about this book.
Me too. We're going to have to get you on again to talk about that. Father Jeff Kirby, thank you so much for joining us, my friend.
Thanks, Gary. Take care.
All right, talk to you next time. Father Jeffrey Kirby, Dave Parker.
Wow, another home run segment.
Wasn't that powerful what he said about what the mystics have said, that the most forgotten souls in purgatory are the priests and the religious? Because that makes sense. We don't tend to pray for them. We think they're okay.
That really got my attention.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Really got my attention.
I mean, so it's very important for us to remember to pray for all of the souls in purgatory.
Everyone. Yeah.
Everyone. Our relatives, our friends.
Yes, everyone. Wow. Again, Father Kirby, thank you so much for coming on and rushing over after
He was hearing confessions after Mass.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I mean, that's
how good is that? Yeah, how good is that? I mean, because, and he said that
people
are realizing, you know, that it went to Mass and, hey, we may not be here tomorrow.
Wow.
We got to be ready to go.
Wow. So. And I did not get to mention, because we were in such a hurry to get him on, but Father Jeff Kirby is a priest from the Diocese of Charleston, South Carolina, and he's kind enough to be on our show once a month to talk about different topics. He's written several books, and again, you can follow him online at frkirby.com.
Yes.
Well, Dave, another good show.
Another great show, Gary.
We switched things around a little bit to accommodate Father Kirby's schedule today.
Absolutely, yeah. Yes.
But tomorrow on the program...
We're flexible here.
That's right. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to be joined by Kevin Burke from Priests for Life. Also, Dr. Peter Kraft will be here to talk about Catholics and Protestants, what we can learn from each other.
Exactly.
He's written a new book for Ignatius
Stay tuned for that one, folks.
And we're going to talk about that.
Yes.
And then on Friday, Tom Hoops will join us. He wrote a recent article for Alatea. The article is, "Why Does It Matter If My Rosary Is Blessed?" So I wanted to get him on the show about that. And then everybody's favorite therapist, Dr. Greg Popchak, will be here on Friday.
All right, Dr.
To offer advice about how you know when you need help. You might be struggling with anxiety. You might feel you're depressed. How do you know when it's time to get professional help? That's a topic that comes up all the time.
Yeah.
So Dr. Greg's going to be here to share
that
with
us. Great show. Hey, Gary, let's World Series last night.
World Series, yes.
3-3.
Exciting.
Game 7 tonight, 8:20 Eastern time, folks.
All right, and we'll talk about it on the show tomorrow. Remember, wherever you go today, whatever you do, the Lord is with you. Make sure you turn around and say hi. Talk to you next time.
God bless.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating